In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Mets lost the game. They got crushed by the Orioles. I shouldn't say they got crushed. They were getting crushed 7-1, but then they fought back. And that's something that I like about this team. J.D. Martinez maybe getting hot now. Homered again, second straight day with a home run for J.D. Martinez. So maybe that could get him going and have him be an impact bat here. The Mets are going to need it because they're going to have to hit their way into the postseason. Quintana was awful. But the big play for me last night came when Nimmo butchered that ball in left field that kind of opened the floodgates to where the Orioles ended up scoring a couple more runs in the ninth inning. Right after the Mets grabbed some momentum, cut the lead to two, cut it to 7-5 with their four-run eighth inning, as I mentioned, J.D. Martinez. Nimmo butchers a play in left field, two-run score in the inning, and that was basically that. Now, look, the Orioles are good, and the Mets will play, as a matter of fact, in a little bit, I guess in a half hour or so, they'll play the rubber game of that three-game series out at Citi Field before they head for the West Coast trip, taking on the Diamondbacks and the Padres. That's not going to be easy here for the Mets. It's an important game today for the Mets to try to be able to win. But if Nimmo's not going to make that play, and I know he went to dive for it, and he made a great catch the other day Sunday. I was at the game, terrific diving catch. And Nimmo has been pretty solid in the outfield. You know, they made him into a center fielder, and he became serviceable in center field. But mostly he is a corner outfielder. If you're not going to make that play in left field, which he's got to make, legit, like, if it's a play that you or I could make, and I'm telling you confidently that's a play that I could have made, he's got to make it. If you're a major leaguer and you get your glove on it or near it, you've got to make the play. And Nimmo didn't, and not that the Mets would have come back and won, but it certainly ruined any chance of a comeback there. But my point is, if Brandon Nimmo is not going to make a play like that, you can't be hitting 229. You could live with subpar defense if the offense is worth it. And Brandon Nimmo, at his peak this year, was performing at an extremely high level offensively. And then you kind of overlook some of the other stuff, whether it's, you know, the base running or just not being good on the base paths or the, you know, average to below average defense. You could live with those things if he's hitting at a high level with power, with average, on base, whatever. He's never been a high average guy, but Brandon Nimmo, I don't know how you could be an impact bat. I don't know, even in today's game, the evolved game of baseball, I don't know how you could be a three hitter and be hitting 229. He's their three hitter and he's hitting 229. That's unacceptable. That can't happen. It's not good enough. And I'm not trying to pick on Brandon Nimmo. I'm just calling it how it is. And by the way, the Mets' struggles or the Mets' drop in play has been correlated to Brandon Nimmo falling off a cliff. You could argue that it's going to be on Brandon Nimmo to get them to the postseason. Lindor has done what he's done since being moved to the leadoff spot in what, mid-May or end of May? And the Mets have obviously taken off. Pete Alonso, while he's not having a good year, has been this way the entire year. Relatively non-impactful season, but it hasn't hurt the Mets. Hasn't helped them as much as it could, but it hasn't hurt them. So it's not like if I sit here and say, well, if Alonso gets it going, it's going to take to the Mets to the next level. It might, but they've been able to survive so far pretty well without Alonso having that big impact. You can name the other guys, too. Alvarez has basically been what he's been all year long. You know, Iglesias, been consistent pretty much all year long. And even when he drops off a little bit, McNeil picks it back up. But the difference has been Nimmo. You know, Vientos has been obviously a mainstay all year long. He's been consistent. The difference has been Nimmo. When Nimmo was at his best going on a tear, you know, the couple of weeks before the All-Star game or whatever, a month before the All-Star game, I don't know the exact time frame, but leading up to the All-Star game, we all started talking about, hey, he should be an All-Star along with Lindor. certainly Lindor first, Nimmo second, Alonso third, if at all. That's how well Nimmo was playing. Hitting with power, talking about how he changed his swing and it's worked, and looking like he was about to click and take off to that next level. The way Daniel Murphy did the final year in his Mets tenure, when he started hitting with some power in October, and then naturally the Mets let him go, of course. Of course. Oh, well, now you hit with power. Okay, now we'll let you go. Shove him down our throat for years. We're begging, hey, what does Murphy do? He's not a good defensive player. He'd admit that. Can't run. He also could admit that. He was a great hitter. He would admit that too. But he didn't even hit with power until he did in October. Then the Mets fittingly let him go then. Anyway, point is, with Brandon Nimmo, you thought maybe it was going to be Murphy-like, where he found something in his swing that he could take his game up a notch and find that power, which the Mets needed at the top of their order or in the heart of that order. Two, three hole, whatever it may be. Now, like I said, now he's getting third. But, and that took the Mets with Nimmo and Lindor and Vientos, but Nimmo, Lindor mainly, turning their seasons around, taking their game to another play, another level. That got the Mets to another level. And then Nimmo falls off a cliff, and the Mets have also fallen back a little bit. It's going to be on Brandon Nimmo. You could live with his defense being average, below average at times, especially in the corner spot, but he's got a hit, and he's just not. 229 for a three-hitter? That's acceptable? And he's driven in 72 runs, okay, that's good. You know, the OPS 757, even with him struggling, but it shows you, like, what is Brandon Nimmo? We had this conversation with Volpe, and it's a lot different because Volpe's only in year two. I mean, Brandon Nimmo, by this point in his career, I mean, come on. You got to know what he is. And I don't know how you could say definitively that we know what he is. But he may be the key to the entire Mets season here, the rest of their run and in the postseason. But overall, however he ends up this year, and however the Mets end up, I still don't have confidence. I want to believe in Nimmo. I still don't have the ultimate confidence that he's ever going to be the impact player that the Mets paid him to be and that they hoped he could be. I mean, is he even going to get to the 24 home runs that he hit last year? He's had his career high in ribbies. I don't know about the homers. And then you look at the average. I mean, last year he hit 274. He was a 274 hitter for in 2002 and 2003, 2022 and 2023. That's consistent. He's hitting 230, 229 to be exact this year. That's just not good enough.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.